Don't move, just leave your dynamiter, here's monitor. Lean back and stay a while, dynamiter, here's monitor.
Games our military men in Vietnam play will be the subject for discussion later this half hour. The girl who tells us about that on monitor is an American Red Cross recreation worker. And Joe Garagiola talks about another kind of game, the fight game, just 2.5 minutes from now. I'm your host, Ted Steele, introducing Tony Bennett and A Fool of Fools.
Fool of Fools. Wake up before she breaks your heart. I warned myself from the start. Be prepared for tears you're gonna shed. To my heart I said, why reach for love above your head? She'll break the rules. She's not the kind who could be true. You come from two different schools. She really learned to love this fool of fools. Fool of fools, wake up before she breaks your heart. I warned myself. To my heart I said, why reach for love above your head? She'll break the rules. She's not the kind who could be true. You come from two different schools.
Main event in sports this week, in the ring at the new Madison Square Garden. Joe Garagiola takes a look at the fights in this report from Monitor Sports.
Remember those old fight movies? John Garfield or Wayne Morris or whoever was the hero would come back to the corner and his manager would say to him, kid, you're way behind. You gotta finish him off. And the fighter always looked like he couldn't believe that he wasn't winning the fight. Last Monday night, they worked a switch on that in Madison Square Garden. Joe Frazier came back to his corner, and his manager, Yancey Durham, said to him, don't back up now, you're winning. Frazier said later, when he said that, I just stared at it. I didn't think I was winning. But if Yancey said so, that was good enough for me, so I didn't back up. In saying that he didn't back up, Frazier is putting it mildly. He not only kept coming, he took command and knocked out Buster Mathis in 2 minutes and 33 seconds of the 11th round. That made Frazier the heavyweight champion of four states, which I guess you might call a mini-title. There was nothing small about the payday, though. The Garden drew the most money in boxing history for an indoor event. To give you an idea of how successful a promotion it was, they actually didn't need the receipts from closed-circuit television. And that's really something today. Before last Monday night, the biggest gate in indoor boxing history came when Floyd Patterson and Ingemar Johansson drew $502,000 at Miami Beach's Convention Hall in 1961. Monday night's card beat that mark by over $150,000. If you wonder why any young man would think about becoming a boxer, I might be able to help you with one reason. Mathis was guaranteed $75,000 for the evening. Nino Benvenuti, who fought in the other main event, was guaranteed $80,000. And the two guys they fought, Frazier and middleweight champion Emil Griffith, were each guaranteed $175,000. And just in case you're wondering, they all got paid Tuesday morning. The only television was closed circuit, and New York was blacked out. But still, there was a blow dealt to instant replays. In the ninth round, Benvenuti knocked Griffith down. Nino said the punch that did it was a left. Griffith told the press that it was a right. And at this point, one of the writers said to Griffith, "I saw it on the replay, and it was a left." Griffith stared at the reporter for a second, then he said, "I don't care what you saw. I was there. It was a right hand." The evening saw a new holder of the middleweight title, a new mini champ of the heavyweights, and it was all held in a brand new garden. But one thing remained constant. Fighters and ex-fighters continued to be the worst crystal ball gazers of them all. Willie Pep, for example, he picked Frazier all right, but he also picked Griffith, so he winds up 500 for the night. Rocky Marciano went the same way and wound up with the same average. Rocky Graziano picked Benvenuti, but he also picked Mathis, so he split too. Jose Torres and Billy Graham really had things figured. They both went 0 for 2 with Mathis and Griffith. Sugar Ray Robinson was a little careful, but not careful enough. Robinson said, "I never have made a prediction. Ex-fighters don't score so good. I never saw Mathis, so I'll pass on that one. But I got to stick with the champ, so I'll go with Griffith." So you can make Sugar Ray 0 for 1. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Joe Garagiola, a regular on Monitor Sports, and he's heard on NBC Radio Monday through Friday. Here's Master Jack by Four Jacks and a Jill.
It's a strange, strange world we live in, Master Jack. You taught me all I know and I'll never look back. It's a very strange world and I thank you, Master Jack. You took a colored ribbon from out of the sky and taught me how to use it as the years went by, to tie up all your problems and make them look neat, and then to sell them to the people in the street. It's a strange, strange world we live in, Master Jack. You taught me all I know and I'll never look back. It's a very strange world and I thank you, Master Jack. I saw right through the way you started teaching me now, so someday soon you could get to use me somehow. I thank you very much, you know you've been very kind, but I'd better move along before you change my mind. It's a strange, strange world we live in, Master Jack. No hard feelings if I never come back. It's a very strange world and I thank you, Master Jack. You taught me all the things the way you'd like them to be, but I'd like to see if other people agree. It's all very interesting the way you disguise, but I'd like to see the world through my own eyes. It's a strange, strange world we live in, Master Jack. No hard feelings if I never come back. You're a very strange man and I thank you, Master Jack. You're a very strange man and I thank you, Master Jack. You're a very strange man, aren't you, Master Jack?
Has this ever happened to you? You're at this party. and you finally get next to the prettiest girl there. So you say, how about us two cutting out? And she says,
I'll have to ask your boss.
And you say, why? And she says,
because he's my date.
Oh, but you still wonder what might have happened if your cigarette ash didn't burn her dress, which burned her, which cooled everything.
Are there any other reasons not to smoke cigarettes? Ask your American Cancer Society.
David Rose in High Chaparral at 20 minutes past the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon. Tune tomorrow afternoon, you'll hear Monitor with host Henry Morgan. Among his guests, Sidney Chaplin, who talks about Paris and his father, Charlie Chaplin. You'll also hear about the President's Cookbook from its author, food expert Poppy Cannon. Mrs. Josh Logan will tell us about the Charlie Chan Film Festival. She recalls the days when she appeared in some of those famous movies. And you'll meet a spelunker who plans to make his home in a cave. All that plus regulars Joe Garagiola, Bob Considine, Dr. Joyce Brothers, Mel Allen, and good old Henry Morgan. Tomorrow on Monitor.
Blue, blue, my world is blue. Blue is my world, now I'm without you. Gray, gray, my life is gray. Cold is my heart since you went away. Alas, my love, you do me wrong to cast me off discourteously. And I have loved you so long, delighting in your company. had known, longing for you, so lost and alone. Blue, blue, my world is blue. Blue is my world. Now I'm without you.
All major military installations in Vietnam are staffed by trained Red Cross field personnel. In addition, there are 18 Red Cross recreation centers and clubmobile units. These are staffed by young college-trained women who travel around presenting entertainment programs to servicemen. Part of these programs is audience participation games. NBC News correspondent Tom Streithorst interviewed one of the Red Cross recreation workers, Dorothy Gallagher, in Saigon.
Dorothy, what exactly does a Red Cross recreation worker do?
Our primary purpose is to provide recreation in a channeled, in a directed, much carefully planned way, to provide a touch of home, certainly an American woman, to the GI over here, and to perhaps keep his mind, in so much as we're there visiting with a man perhaps once a week, to take his mind off the war or his immediate surroundings and to perhaps encourage him to laugh a little and to have a good time with him.
Is this dangerous work?
Oh, I hesitate because I think in terms of the man out in the rice paddies and the one who's in the tank and going through enemy territory, I do not consider it dangerous. Wherever you are, there are going to be hazards, and we are aware of them. Whenever you get in a jeep, you can drive across a base camp and somebody run into you. If we get in a helicopter, there's always the risk that anybody, the helicopter could lose power. We look at it as though we have just the normal risks of anyone being any place. Perhaps they're greater here, but so much care and security and precautions are taken on our behalf that no, we do not consider it a dangerous job, as you would put it.
I see you've got a bandage on your leg. What happened and how?
Well, we're accustomed to going into bunkers when, of course, the siren goes off, and I was waiting to go into a bunker because I didn't, it was a strange bunker. I was not, had not been in this area before. It was quite late at night, I guess about 10 or 10:30, and I was waiting for someone to shine a light so I could see how to get in it. We've learned not to panic when the siren goes off. We just wait and go in it very calmly. Someone else apparently panicked, and he was running very rapidly toward the bunker at which the entrance to which I had blocked, and he just knocked me against the sandbag, and apparently there was wire on the sandbag, and it just scratched my leg. But over here, we learned to take precautions because infections are so easily come by. So I got the full treatment of a little ointment and tetanus shot, and it's just keeping it covered so it will heal more quickly.
How many times have you been under fire?
None. Oh, I've been in areas that have been under mortar attacks, but I personally have never been involved in a firefight or anything of this sort.
How do the men react to your programs?
Oddly enough, they become little boys sometimes because they can get so caught up in a baseball game, throwing darts to score points and answering questions about baseball or cars. They react to the girls. Now, we're very fortunate in combat areas, it's very easy to elicit response because the men many times spend months out in the field. They come in and they're anxious to see a woman, and we go in and have coffee with them and then do the group recreation. Please understand that the group recreation is not necessary for the man's morale, the recreation itself. However, it's our means of communicating with 50 or 60 men all at the same time. There's no way that we could walk into a room and talk to 60 men and involve them. But if we go in with our games immediately, their attention is involved around one focal point, and we can relate to them and talk to each of them more easily facilitated through the games. That's the purpose of the games. And the men react very favorably, I think. I've been very fortunate in being with two divisions, the 4th Division and now the 25th. Extremely well received. There are some, of course, who are just too tired. There are some who are going to completely ignore a woman because he's too much of a man to play our games, but yet he doesn't really. He shows his concern and his interest. And we're very pleased with the response that we get. Very pleased.
Fine, Dorothy Gallagher. Thank you very much. Tom Streithorst, NBC News, Saigon.
An unusual Vietnam report. Hugo Montenegro and the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. In California's Imperial Valley, you listen to us on KXO, El Centro, California. Wherever your station is, make it a date again next Saturday. This is Ted Steele for Monitor.
This is Henry Morgan, your Saturday night Monitor host. When you travel on weekends, do you tune in Monitor? You should on NBC Radio.